I want to welcome all of our hundreds of friends around the world that are gathering on multiple platforms that God has wrought through the geniuses that He has created. And by the way, I know some of you might be offended at Jeff Bezos and his recent activities, but we can forgive him because God can forgive him, and will forgive him if he would seek God's forgiveness. But he's one of God's created beings who has been gifted with a broad mind. And I heard him say recently, and I actually saw him say it, that this is a day of renaissance. This is a day like no other day. And I want to encourage you Christians to stop being consumers and worried about the evil that people put on social media and the evil that people do with this new technology. And I want to encourage you to pray for these geniuses who are making these things available, and use them. Be wise, just like Billy Graham and others in the past. When radio came along, they started using radio. Then when television came along, they started using television, and thank God they did. For the gospel went far and wide through television, and God, I believe, is behind it. Yes, the devil is using it for evil. Yes, the busiest sites online today are porno sites. But that's indicative of the fact that the church is not doing its job. In fact, we got too many in the church on the porn sites themselves and on the hookup sites themselves. But Jeff Bezos said, and I want everybody here to hear me, everybody out there to hear me. He said, this is a day like no other as far as in light of AI. And he said, every organization can be and will be improved by artificial intelligence. And however, in any way that you can use the new technology for the glory of God, may I lovingly encourage you, Christians, to stop bemoaning the evil in the world and be a shining light in the world. I believe that every pastor, every evangelist ought to at least have a podcast where they preach the gospel and share the gospel each and every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but engage people on a personal basis. For as you know, nowadays, people can listen to podcasts in their cars just like radio. So, stop cursing the darkness and turn on a light and be the light that Jesus told you that you should be. Amen, somebody. I want to thank all of our friends right now who are gathering online and on our various platforms. My oldest son, Daniel White IV, tells me we are live on 16 different platforms around the world, and not counting on demand. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor. Our dear friends on Spreaker, that's a live podcasting system. And I would encourage all pastors to get on it. Preach the gospel live. Share the gospel live. You don't have to always stand and preach like I'm doing. You can sit down at your desk, pull up a mic, and tell people about Jesus. And you will be amazed at how many folks are hungry for the pure word of God. With that said, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 2, Praying Through the Bible, message number 337. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And as I told you last week, I am so glad to be here at this passage. Verse 16 reads, "Rejoice evermore," period. That is not a suggestion, that is a commandment for all Christians, all people who claim to be a follower of Christ, a believer in Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and 1,000+ other names. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for these profound, succinct, clear words that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you put in your servant Paul's heart to share with us, to pass down to us. Someone has said that the world would be a different place without these words. And so, Holy Father God, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for leaving behind for us your eternal word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For when we put these together, we have a powerful, powerful thing that has changed the lives of millions, that has changed nations, created nations and put down some. We thank you for the eternal word of God, your word. And Holy Father God, we do not ever want to take it lightly like some have in the past, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Help us all to individually confess our sins, our failures and our faults unto you, everything that we have done that's not like you. Help everybody, Lord, in the church. Help everyone here and outside of here to confess their wicked sins of having a bad attitude, being uncheerful, unjoyful, and doing it on purpose. If they are saved, they know they have a whole lot to rejoice about in you. They know they ought to be cheerful, but they are so full of hell, so full of the devil, so full of demons, stubbornness, rebelliousness, and disobedience and witchcraft. They choose not to, just to spite you, and they think they are spiting others who are happy in you. Lord, help these people to repent of their sins and help them to seek your forgiveness and help them not to think that is being overlooked. Help people not to think so foolishly. Help them to go back to reading your holy word in the Old Testament and in the New to remind them of how you deal with people who claim to be followers of you, but yet they refuse to obey your holy word. Lord Jesus, so many Christians have forgotten your simple words. If you love me, keep my commandments. So many have forgotten your simple words, Lord, when you said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" God, have mercy upon each and every one of us. Help each and every one of us to stop playing games. Lord, help so-called Christians to cease being fraudulent Christians. Frauds, phonies, fakes, hypocrites. They draw close with their mouths, but their heart is in hell itself, and they know it. Living one way in front of the church folks, but another way with a devil in their bed. Living a life of lying and duplicity and dishonesty and deceitfulness. Lord, if your people would just get the fraud out of their lives, get the phoniness out of their lives, look at themselves in the mirror and see the lie that they are, and to stop being a lie, and then they'll stop lying and living a lie, foolishly thinking that nobody knows about the lie they're living, foolishly thinking that nobody knows that they're in a closet. And they don't want to tell the truth and don't want to come out of it. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts. So many are possessed by demons today, and so many are oppressed by demons. Many Christians are oppressed and depressed by demons. And there's no other reason why the things that we see happening are happening. So-called Christians, so-called pastors, blowing their brains out. And we are quick in the church to lie to the world and say it's mental, some kind of mental disease. When in the Bible, you didn't call it mental disease. The people were demon-possessed. Young people foaming at the mouth, just like they did in the Bible. This is demon activity. People walking around with angry looks on their faces, contorting their heads and twisting their heads, just like the demon-possessed person we saw in a movie called The Exorcist. Demons are able to contort their bodies and do all kinds of demonic activities. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out these demons. Lord, if the church got together and prayed, we would need an exorcist. Lord, if the church got together and prayed for our young people and our old people and for our pastors, who apparently the devil is destroying their minds, destroying their hearts, destroying their spirits, destroying their souls, and destroying their lives. Help people to realize and to stop lying that the demons are driving people to kill themselves. And I believe many are going to hell. And the demons do that because we are foolishly open the door for the devils and the demons. Through pornography, through being involved with demonically filled people, having sex with people we're not married to, drugs, drunkenness, willful sin, and on and on. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in your true church that folks will get back to old-fashioned praying for lost souls, praying that you would cast out the demons in the lives of the people who are apparently disturbed by the demons. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to stop lying. Help us to stop lying to each other. help us to stop trying to couch everything in some psychological term in the church when that is nowhere in the Bible. And help us to get back to the old landmarks and do what the first church did. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. In the house of the Lord. As many of you know, I am taking a few days off from preaching every day. More than likely, by the grace of God, I will resume preaching every day next Monday, or next, this coming Sunday, which I'll be preaching anyway on Sunday, but so it'll be Monday. And pray for the series of messages that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I think that you will appreciate it. I hope. Some will not. But be that as it may, for today, we are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. By the way, if you can't hear me on one of the platforms, please notify us. We have two Periscopes going out of here, two Facebook live streams going out of here, and Spreaker going out of here, and other things going out of here. Whatever platform you're on, please notify them now if you cannot hear me clearly, no matter where you are in the world. If you cannot see this message in your language, for these messages go out in 100 languages around the world, please let us know. The purpose of this series is to encourage and motivate you, to challenge you, to exhort you, to help you, no matter how dry you may feel, to pray to the God of the Bible. I was praying yesterday. I was going by to pick up one of my children, and I started praying, and I felt within myself, Lord, it feels so dry. You know what the Lord told me? Just pray anyway. And I regrouped and I prayed a prayer. And so this is where many people lose it, in prayer. Because after a while, it's not as wet as it was when you first started praying. In other words, it's not as exciting. After a while, by and by, as a Christian, God wants you just to pray by faith without feeling anything. Without feeling a tingle down your spine or running down your leg or whatever. By faith. And it may seem to be rather dry. And so God wants you to keep on praying without ceasing, even though you don't feel anything and even though you don't see anything. And that's why we're here, to share that with you. We highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 336 of these messages. All of these messages will one day be in that Bible, in print and interactive. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor for what he has done down through the years. Today, this is message number 337, titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 2. Ladies and gentlemen, James Burton Kaufman said, these brief hammer blow admonitions, commandments, carry the full authority of apostolic power, and have been greatly honored and appreciated in all generations since they first appeared. Barclay spoke of them as a chain of jewels of good advice. Moffat declared that to comment adequately upon these diamond drops would be to outline a history of the Christian faith and experience in its highest levels. I like it. Here, chiseled into the granite face of history, are these mighty virtues of the new man in Christ Jesus, without whom the world would never have survived as long as it has. Glory be to God. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message on last Wednesday, we looked at the definition of attitudes and how this passage addresses from Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zook. And I spent some time laying the foundation for this, the beginning of this passage. These men pointed out these exhortations dealing with attitudes. Rejoice evermore. Do you have your attitude right with God? Do you have your heart right with God? While I was praying today in this service, you must understand, for those of you who are just coming on board, we have a full service before you come on board. And whatever blessings you get when you come on board comes from those prayers that we put up. Because this is not just a preaching service. This is truly a prayer meeting. And we believe every church ought to get back to the Wednesday prayer meeting, or the Tuesday prayer meeting, or everyday prayer meeting, or the Saturday morning prayer meeting. Because without the prayer meeting in the church praying together, you're going to have little power, if any power at all, on Sunday. But is your attitude right? The sad fact is, most people do not have a good attitude, and that includes Christians. Your attitude is not right. Your disposition is not right. In other words, your spirit is not right. Your heart is not right. And while I was praying earlier today, God put on my heart that if your heart is not right, ain't nothing right. Amen, somebody. If your heart is not right, ain't nothing right, people. Your attitude is not right, ain't nothing right. If you're doing, even if you're serving God, if your heart is not right, if your spirit is not right, if your attitude is not what it should be, it's just not right. And really what you're doing is in vain. It's worthless. Absolutely worthless. And God is big on this. Jesus is big on this point. From the Old Testament, Brother Andy Stanley, and in the New Testament. God is big on this. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God brings out, your mouth is near me, but your heart is far from me. God reminds us that God looks on the heart, not the outward appearance, my dear friends. And most Christians today and most preachers today, all about the outward appearance. If it looks good, it must be good. But we're finding out slowly but surely every day that things can look good, people can look good, but they are corrupt and full of hell and the devil on the inside. Right now in the state of Virginia, the governor is embroiled in a blackface scandal. Secondly, the lieutenant governor is embroiled in a rape scandal. Come to find out today, the third person in line to take over the governorship, he's embroiled in another blackface scandal. Everything, how did they get elected? You know how they got elected? They deceived people. They duped people. People were looking at the outward appearance, their beautiful little family, their beautiful little wife, and their beautiful little children in the pictures they took. It all looked so beautiful, but on the inside, dead men's bones. If the Virginia governor resigned like he should, they don't have anybody to take his place. Because who wants a lieutenant governor embroiled in a rape scandal? The third man in line, the attorney general, he can't even rise to the position. And I'm told today that the fourth person who could take over would be the Republican head of the legislature. Everything that looks good is not good, even in the church. I told a preacher the other day, I was in Walmart. I was on the phone talking with a preacher friend while I was walking around Walmart. My two sons were in there with me, and I went in there after them to get me some cashews. And I was talking with him, and I related to him something that just happened in the news. He's in the in a medical facility. And I told him to be careful. I told him to be careful because everything that looks good is not good. And he, of course, he and I laughed together. And I told him, every woman that looks good is not good for you. And he agreed. Everything that looks good on the outside is not necessarily good, my dear friend, even in the church. And especially in the church. The Pope announced yesterday that it is true. The priests have not only been raping boys, but they've been raping the nuns. Everything that looks good is not good. God is looking on the inside. You hypocrite, you phony, and you fake. It's only by the grace of God he has not destroyed us all and cast the whole earth, not only us, but the whole earth into hell. But that don't just blame it on the Catholic Church. Baptist pastors have been raping women for years. Methodists, Episcopalians, Evangelicals. Everything that looks good is not good. Some women have learned everything that looks good is not good. If I could just get that man, he is so handsome. He is so fine. If I could just have him. And come to find out he's a devil. A good looking devil, but a devil still. And what will help you the most, my dear friends, is to pray without ceasing. To rejoice evermore in the Lord. Not in a man, not in a woman, not in your children, not in your house. And Texas has some of the best looking houses in the world. But there's hell going on in those houses. For husbands are killing wives, wives are killing husbands, and they're both killing their children. And they're catching hell trying to pay for those big houses, trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths and the Dixons. And the Dixons and the Smiths and the Jones don't even know they're trying to keep up with them and can care less because they're trying to survive themselves. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if I can finish this message today. These exhortations dealing with attitudes. Let's break it down. Your wicked heart, your mindset, your spirit. Some of you are set in your ways, and some of you are too young to be set in your ways. You're not pliable anymore. You have been so evil so long, you cannot even be impressed by the Word of God and by the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. And some of you old heads, may God help you. You're just set in your wicked ways. You're mean as the devil. And you put on perfume. You get your lips plumped up. You get your breasts pumped up and your behind pumped up, trying to attract another devil. And you don't get your heart pumped up with holiness and righteousness. And then the other devil finds out you're a devil too, and guess what happens? This is your third divorce. Hello. Don't get mad with me for telling you the truth. Don't leave. Just bow your head. Keep your head straight. Don't bow your head yet, because we're not ready to pray. Does that like it's not impacting you at all, like you normally do? Don't get angry. Change. Get your heart right. Get the trash out of your life. Get the homosexuals out of your life. Stop letting people who are not married to you touch you. Don't get mad at the preacher. Paul said, are you getting mad with me because I tell you the truth? These exhortations dealing with attitudes are addressed to believers, Christians, as individuals concerning their personal lives before God Almighty. And yes, my dear friend, yes, Virginia, there's a God in heaven. And he's here today. And yes, Virginia, Jesus Christ is real. And he's watching everything we do. And he's dealing with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's dealing with you right now. God wants his people to be cheerful. God wants his people to be joyful. God wants his people to rejoice, not only sometime, but all the time. I shocked the daylights out of my family yesterday. Bless their hearts. I've done this kind of thing in the past. They don't know where in the world this came from. I know where it came from. It came from God. I was lying in the bed, and my family and I, we love Rosh Hashanah and the Jewish holidays, and we worship Christ and enjoy those holidays with our Jewish friends. Andy Stanley, yes, I do believe that there's a connection between Christianity and the Jewish faith. Thank God for the foundation of the Jewish faith. Because let's remember now, Jesus is a Jew. Be that as it may, in the month of February, Rosh Hashanah, I think, is down in September. For some reason, the beautiful Rosh Hashanah songs that we play on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, came into my heart big time, and the idea to dance. Now, you must understand, I can't sing, nor can I dance. Now, I lost my dancing abilities when I got saved. I used to dance on the club floor when I was lost on my way to hell. Be that as it may, we had our family devotions, and I just told everybody, I feel like dancing. And I pulled up the Rosh Hashanah. If you haven't heard the Jewish Rosh Hashanah songs, my soul, it seems like those folks are very close to the black race. I'm telling you, I mean, they know how to do it, and they know how to dance as well. And man, I put on the Jewish New Year song and I started dancing. I didn't even have the exercise. I was planning on exercising yesterday, but I danced so hard that I was sweating so much, even more than exercising. So where does that come from? It's not me. I'm constantly catching hell because I'm preaching the gospel every day. It came from the Lord. The Lord gave me that kind of spirit, that attitude, that mentality, that heart to rejoice in Him. You can't make, and there's nobody else around but my wife and children. And the last thing on earth my wife wants to see is me dancing, because she's mad at me half the time. But even she started laughing at my dancing yesterday. Three of my children, they held themselves together. They almost burst out laughing, but they calmed down. What am I saying to you, folks? This ought to be bubbling up out of your heart. It ought to be a God thing that God puts inside of you. And I'm afraid that some people even trying to get back at other people, they foolishly try to repress that joy and that cheerfulness. Because if you have Jesus and you don't have sin in your life and no one has ever molested you or anything like that, because that will dampen your joy. That'll steal your joy if someone has molested you or did something that they had no business doing to you or whatever the case might be. That kind of thing will kill it. But if you don't have that in your life and you don't have sin in your life as a child of God, if you are a believer in Christ, you ought to have that joy, that rejoicing, that cheerfulness bubbling up on the inside of you. You couldn't contain it if you tried. And there are some Christians who know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the shouting and jumping and the running down the aisle in the church in front of thousands of people or hundreds of people, but you don't do it at home. You don't pray in the car. You don't praise God in the car. Does God ever move you in thankfulness and appreciation to tears when you're in the car by yourself, or when you're in the house by yourself, or when you're just with your family? There's something going on. There's something not right if that's not happening. You can't dance at the house. You never dance at the house, but you always want to dance at the church. Something is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. If you can't break out into praise in the car driving down the road, there's something wrong somewhere. You say, well, I'm an introverted person. We're not talking about introverted stuff, man, and talking about you quiet and all that. No, no, no. If you're a child of God, the tears will roll at least. Not because you're hurting, but because of how good God is. Can somebody say amen? God is good. See, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, not only at the church house where you see the sisters and the brothers, but at your house. God wants His people to be cheerful, to be joyful, to be always rejoicing, and He gives them every reason to be that way. Remember now, in the Lord. In the Lord. God has given us every reason to be joyful, to be cheerful, to be rejoicing forevermore. Nothing or nobody ought to stop you from rejoicing in God. And let me hip you to something. Many people in the church today have never been born again. They have never been saved. That's the reason why they don't have it. You see, you can't fake this. You can't make this up. You can't phony this. You can't do it, dear friend. It has to be bubbling up from the deep down on the inside. I forget the baseball player's name out in San Diego. They called him Mr. Padre, San Diego Padres. He was just a fun-loving person. Everybody loved him. family members, friends, all of the fans loved them. One of those original cuts, American cuts. And the thing that they loved the most about him, I forget his name, was his laughter. Was his laughter. Because everybody said his laughter came from some deep place, deep down on the inside. They loved it. Some loved it so much that before he died of cancer, they recorded it on their phone, and every time they want to laugh, they play it on their phone. Because it was a deep, deep, deep belly laugh, man, that came from a place of joy. It was real. It was authentic. He couldn't help it. Even when he was sick, and he was known for his joy and his rejoicing, his cheerfulness, and that laugh. Are you that way? Does your joy and your rejoicing and your cheerfulness just automatically, no matter what kind of hell you are going through? I don't care if it's racism. I don't care if people are accusing you of stuff. I don't care if your husband is leaving you and stepping out on you, or your wife is leaving you or stepping out on you, or your children are rebellious as the devil. I don't care what you're going through. If the debts are high and the money is low, it doesn't matter. That joy does not go anywhere. We had a situation in our lives one time when our house burned down. We didn't know, humanly speaking, what we were going to do, but God knew what he was going to do. And my children, my oldest children, who had to go back and forth with me to take care of things, they will tell you that Papa just laughed all the way through it. Kept them laughing. Didn't shed a tear. Rejoicing evermore. In the midst of tribulation, being cheerful. You say, did you try to be that way, preacher? No, I didn't try to be that way. Did you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm a preacher and I'm a father, so I can't show how depressed and sad I am in front of my children? No. I didn't do anything like that. Didn't think like that at all. And every Christian who knows every Christian who has this spirit of joy and rejoicing evermore in them, this peace that passeth all understanding, this Jesus-given cheerfulness, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't fake it. It just comes up from a deep place on the inside. And you're never worried about a thing. Other people are worried for you, but you're not worried about a thing. Paul knew human nature, however. He knew human nature well, and many people need to hear this today, enough to sense the need for a reminder to rejoice at all times. Paul knew that how people get. They have this tendency to forget God, forget about God. Tribulation comes, trials come, temptations come. So many Christians go down in the dumps. Boom. Sad, depressed, defeated, disgusted. He knew human nature, that people love pity parties. One of the biggest crimes of today, even in the church, is the pity party and the gathering of other people in your little, stinking pity party. It's a crime. Pity parties are a crime because you gather other people and you bring them down with you. People used to say this about black people. You don't have to worry about black people succeeding and getting things done in their lives because they're like crabs. I come from the crab capital of the world. And I love myself some crabs, man. I love me some crabs. But if you put some crabs in a bucket, what do they do? Someone, one of them try to get out, they'll reach up and pull them down. This can be used now for everybody. Yes, even Christians in the church. listen to me very carefully. Some of you have some friends in the church that are crab-like. They cannot stand you getting married. They cannot stand you getting a house. They cannot stand you getting a new job. They cannot stand you moving on. And they will advise you demonically to not do it, to not marry him. And then before you know it, 3 months later, they're marrying the same guy. You need to get away from certain people, the crab-like people. They have big claws. And they love to bring you down into their pity party, into their depression, their sadness. Seriously, people, people today see this as a ministry in the church. The sad ministry. The depressed ministry. And what do they do when they get together in their small group? They bring down people further. All they do is talk about, woe is me. I'm always going through. No, dear friend. You're always going through because you are disobedient to God. You're proud. You're stubborn. You're rebellious. These people in that little depressed group, the pity party group, they are disobedient as hell. And they don't listen to anybody. And you don't need to get into that group with them. You need to get out as fast as possible. Clear it out. And go over to the rejoicing small group class. You say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, you get around them. If you're saved, you'll feel better. And the more depressed you are, the more you need to be around these folks. Has nothing to do with personality. Has everything to do with Jesus Christ controlling your life. And I have so much more to say today. But God has led me to say a whole lot. But allow me to just say this, dear friend. If your heart is not right, ain't nothing right. Get your heart right with the Lord, dear Christian friend. Get your attitude right with the Lord, dear Christian friend, and with others. Stop being the person that somebody has to always pull you up, yet you know Christ is Savior, you claim. Everybody got to always pull you out of the ditch. One day, those same people are going to get tired of pulling you out of the ditch, and you're fighting them while they're pulling you out of the ditch. They're going to leave you in the ditch. They shouldn't, but they will. Because human beings get tired. Get out of the pity party class. The woe is me class. Don't go to Starbucks with them anymore. Don't go on a so-called vacation with them anymore. I deserve this vacation because I've been through so much hell. Don't do that. Get away from these depressed, sad, defeated Christians, lest you become that way permanently. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to stay here a while. Because, Lord, as you know, because of sin, living in sin, rebelliousness, pride, stubbornness, disobedience, witchcraft, not understanding that obedience is better than sacrifice, prayerlessness, living a lie, being a hypocrite, a phony. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice to confess their sins, to repent, to turn from their evil ways, to seek your face, to get back to you, their first love. Help them to turn to you, Lord, and help them to get back to the joy they had when they first got saved. As you know, Lord, we have written down something that I was going to say. there are some people that you might need to get away from. And so, Lord, I pray that if people have to make that decision, we're not talking about husbands and wives, we're not talking about children, but certain ones who are negative all of the time, even in the church. They're always trying to pull us into their struggling pity party. Lord, help some people to escape that demonic grip. Always having to try to pull them out of the fire, and they don't want to be pulled out of the fire. They want to stay in their sin and their misery, their depression. Lord, set the others free today. Set them free so that they can rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And live the victorious Christian life you want all of us to live. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Before I leave you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner. And just as I am, we all are sinners. And that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all have messed up. And as I have pointed out to you, it may look good on the outside, but more often than not, it's corrupt and bad and nasty and dirty on the inside. That includes all of us. We all have failed God. We all have disobeyed God. This is why God is big on forgiveness, not only Him forgiving us, but us forgiving others. Because He knows how corrupt we are. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Death is very final. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Every last one of us will cease to exist from this earth one day. And your body will be taken to a funeral home. And then put in a grave. Your soul will experience death in hell forever if you don't trust Christ as Savior. If you trust Christ as Savior, your soul will live on forever in heaven, because Jesus Christ is the payment for our sin debt. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not talking about joining a church. That doesn't mean anything. I'm not, and you know it. I'm not talking about getting baptized at the age of 12. You know you didn't get saved by just your baptism. Your baptismal certificate will not save your soul from hell. Shaking the right hand of the preacher or taking a chair in the church does not mean necessarily you got saved. Speaking in some unknown tongue. And I'm sharing these with you because these are things that I did before I truly got saved. December the 19th, 1979, I was 19 years old. And I knew that those things didn't save me. I knew that going to church every Sunday twice a day didn't save my soul. I knew that singing in the choir did not save my soul. And you know it too. And that's why you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. For God looks on the heart, not the outward appearance. And speaking of hell, there is a hell. And I remind you of this every day. Every time that I preach, hell is real. That's why Jesus came and suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried. He died, was buried, and rose again. If there's no hell to shun and no heaven to gain, then Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection would be in vain. You know you can't go to heaven with God shacking up and trying to play Jody in heaven, getting drunk in heaven, jam boogieing in heaven down there. There ain't going to be no clubs in heaven, man. There's not going to be any whorehouses in heaven, man. There's not going to be any prostitutes on Hallelujah Boulevard and walking the streets, man. So you know you can't do that in God's heaven. So where are you going to go? You're going to go to hell. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did heaven. Why? Because unfortunately we're motivated more by negative things than positive things. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, well, preacher, who's going to hell if there's a hell? The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, here's the people who will be going to hell and plus more. But the fearful. People too afraid to get saved because they are afraid of what their friends might say. The unbelieving, the so-called atheists and agnostics, the Bill Maher's of the world. And the abominable, people who commit abominations, such as rapists, child molesters, homosexuals and lesbians, people who are trying to have sex with animals. These are abominations. Yes, they are sins like all other sins, but they are beyond the pale. Absolutely disgusting, not only to God, but to normal human beings who are not even saved. And murderers, people who kill other people. Listen to me very careful. All of you need to be careful. Young women especially, because there are men so demon possessed. One demon possessed man said the other day he enjoyed killing people, killing women. He looked forward to it. He was a ferocious monster. That's what he said. The man who they said now kill JonBenet Ramsey said he not only wanted to kill her but eat her as well. These are abominable people. And then whoremongers will not go to heaven. They'll go to hell as well. That's those of us on the heterosexual side, especially. Men and women having sex with anybody and everybody outside of our marriage. Whoremongers, whether you're single or married. People who have sex with everybody on Tinder. Whoremongers and whores are going to hell. And sorcerers, people who practice living their lives by the zodiac signs, crystal balls, sorcery, sticking pins in the people now. Down on some of the islands and even in America. Voodoo. Witchcraft. They're going to hell. They're going to the lake of fire, every last one of them. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God Almighty. God is still a jealous God. He does not play that. And if God didn't get you on these other big sins, if you will, the last one is all liars, all liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And we have a bunch of liars in the world today, from the president to the papa, from the papa to the pope. We have a bunch of liars living today. Many preachers are liars. If he didn't get you on the other sins, he got you on the lying, the perjury, the dishonesty, the not making everything clear, not coming clean. One of the news commentators said today, regarding the three men who are in trouble in Virginia, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the AG, the attorney general. This is a liberal commentator, said the problem is they didn't have the decency to just tell the truth on themselves before it even got to this point. In other words, to get out in front of it. That's the problem. And yet we condemn a man like Liam Neeson, who told the truth regarding his wicked heart. He revealed the truth on his own. But all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you see yourself in that list? I believe you have. You say, well, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from the hell you deserve. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, just believe in your heart. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. You say, preacher, I just don't understand it. That's all right. Just believe it. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, to come into your heart, to change your life, and he will. Trust me when I tell you, if he can save me, he can save you. I got saved out of the club and the church at the same time. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, the power of sin. Saved from the punishment of sin in hell. If you're willing to trust in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to save you, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. I'll help you with the prayer like somebody helped me. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I'm a sinner. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. I have lusted before. I've coveted and lusted after people and things. I have lied before. I have dishonored my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've stolen things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my wretched and wicked soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways, and help me to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. That is based upon God's Word. And God has never lied. Jesus has never lied. So congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.